This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
Jacinta Price is a councillor, meaning an elected councillor, with the Alice Springs Council, and an Indigenous woman. Also, you may have heard of Jacinta on the ABC's Q&A, and Jacinta joins us on the phone. Welcome, Jacinta, and thank you so much for making the time.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
And how are you? Where are you today?
I'm home at the moment in Alice Springs. I'm getting ready to get to a big event called the Camel Cup in Alice Springs.
Oh, the Camel Cup, yes. That's a huge event, isn't it?
I've been to that.
Yeah.
It is pretty big. It is pretty big, and they've invited me to come down and sing the anthem today. So,
wow.
I'll be doing that. That'll be a bit of fun. And then this afternoon, I'll be going to look for some honey ants with my mother and my family. Yeah, it's going to be a big day.
Cool. Got quite a day ahead of you.
Cool day. Well, I bet it's a bit warmer there than it is here. That's for sure.
Oh, the weather's beautiful.
Now, we wanted to touch on a couple of issues, and we've got a couple of segments, with you this morning. One of the issues that I'd like to start off with, if I may, is cashless welfare cards. Now, this has certainly been quite a controversial issue in lots of community, but particularly in the Indigenous communities and in the Northern Territory. Can you give us a brief description of, for our listeners, what they are and what your view on them is?
Sure. So basically, it's where 80% of your welfare, if you're on welfare payments, is quarantined. So it is put aside and it's put on the basics card. And you can access it for your groceries, for paying bills. Basically, you can buy clothes and white goods and all those sorts of things that you need for your household and your family. It just doesn't allow you to purchase things like cigarettes and alcohol, and it restricts you so you can't use that money for gambling. The other 20% is cash, and you can do what you want with that. And there are, I think the one thing that people don't understand is that there are ways of going off the basics card. You can go through a process of becoming exempt from it. So it does target, I guess, people with issues, who have issues with substance, substance abuse, gambling, those sorts of things. From my personal point of view, I think it is a great thing. I think it's certainly worked wonders for many people in my own family. When it was first rolled out, I was involved in collecting data, involved in a study about the basics card, interviewing people individually within the town camps of Alice Springs and around the community, and also the remote communities. What I found was that, I reckon 98% of the people that I personally sat with, I thought it was a great idea. There were Indigenous women who thought it was wonderful because of the fact that the pressures of kin and family with alcohol addiction couldn't ask you for your money. They could use the card to say, look, I only have my basics card. I can't give you any of my money. And it meant that they could, feed the kids. There was always money available to feed the kids. They could pay their bills, and they felt safe with it. And they still feel safe with it for a lot of Aboriginal women. And I guess the people that I did speak to who really didn't like it were actually non-Indigenous. And, you know, I could understand why they didn't like it. Because these were people that also, you know, very much, you know, they said, I'm in control of my life. I don't have these sorts of issues. And I thought, well, fair enough. Again, go through the steps, take the process, do the process to become exempt from the card. I think we're a very lucky country to be having, you know, the welfare system and a disposable income for all Australians, basically. So, you know, considering it's taxpayers' money, and we do see a lot of the issues in, you know, remote Australia, I think it should be, you know, put across the whole of Australia. Then no one can say it's a racist system, which I don't believe it is. I think it's just targeting, you know, the people in this country, the most marginalised are Aboriginal people. And
just into the current card, the cashless card isn't just available to Aboriginal people, though. It's available to people in targeted communities, whether they be Aboriginal or non-Aboriginal. Isn't that correct?
That's right. Well,
so you can't argue it's a racist. It has a racist undertone.
That's where it was introduced.
That initially came out when it first came out. That's sort of what the argument was. This is a racist card. You know, we can't. You're just targeting Aboriginal people. But the fact of the matter is, it's now available to it's to everyone throughout the Northern Territory. And I know they're trialling it in the Kimberley as well, and the communities are backing it in the Kimberley.
Of course, it's an intervention. It's actually not a remedy as such. I mean, if people have addiction issues, the addiction issues need to be dealt with. That's the problem. The card is just a strategy that prevents people from being able to use those funds to purchase alcohol or tobacco or other items of addiction or gambling for that matter. So the issue of addiction has not actually been dealt with as such, has it?
No, that's one thing. That's a major concern, and that's one thing that I think, you know, most governments. It's really tough because, you know, with an addict, only the addict themselves can turn their life around. Obviously, with, you know, the right sort of support around them, wraparound support around them, and a big thing that I find stands in the way for Aboriginal people is the fact that, you know, an addict will not get that help until they actually hit rock bottom. But when you've got this vast kin network that supports you, you know, there's always somebody in your family that you can go to who, without them even realising, they're actually, you know, become enablers. And so I think that's another big reason, another way we need to address this issue when it comes to the Indigenous community, is that addiction is a Western, you know, thing that's come along, and we need to be able to tackle it with Western tools, because only the West has been able to understand how to overcome addiction. But that's something that us as Aboriginal people need to understand, is that, and I guess that's where the basic card comes in. For those who don't have the problem with alcohol but have the family who do, they can keep that money. But again, you know, again, it isn't tackling that very issue of addiction for a lot of people, which needs to happen. It is a measure around that, but it certainly doesn't solve that problem completely.
And so do you view addiction as being a part of a mental health spectrum of disorders?
Look, quite possibly. Look, my husband's a Scotsman. He's 9 years sober. I understand what it is to be the partner of somebody who struggled with addiction. He still calls himself an alcoholic. He never actually, you know, says that he's not, that he's completely cured. He has that notion in his head. But that's what people have to take and understand that about themselves, is that is going to be a part of them for the rest of their life, and they need to constantly work on that issue. So certainly, you know, it has to do with your mental health, because a lot of it is in a person's head as well.
Talking just before that break about the cashless welfare cards and the impact that's had, a positive impact that Jacinta believes it's had on a lot of remote communities, I want to ask you, Jacinta, we all know the shameful history of how Indigenous people were worked on some of the remote cattle stations and other stations around Australia, and it was in cooperation with a lot of religions. Real paternalism and, you know, not paying them decent wages, not giving them decent opportunities. I almost categorise the welfare card. I understand what you said, but is it a case of white Australia saying we're going to tell you how to spend your money, rather than, and I understand the individuals need to take responsibility for their actions in communities, but is there a little bit of paternalism in this from white society?
No. Again, as we just said, you know, it's now applied to every Australian in the Northern Territory. It's not money that was worked for. This is, we're talking about welfare. We're talking about taxpayers' money, and we're talking about people, you know, who have, you know, we've got the highest levels of violence. We've got, you know, the highest levels of alcohol abuse. We've got the highest levels of incarceration in this country, and you know, it's a measure to try and address those particular issues. And it's certainly not a silver bullet, but that's what it's set out to do. I certainly don't feel there's paternalism involved in this, but we have a crisis situation here in the Northern Territory, and we have to find ways to be able to tackle, you know, the crisis that we're seeing. And this is one of those ways. I mean,
I agree with you. I think that if this is a intervention that is part of a suite of measures that are designed to deal with the underlying problems here, I think it should be applauded and it should be celebrated in that sense. But if it is seen as being the solution, then it becomes a problem, because it's actually not dealing with the root cause issue at all, is it? All it's doing is just restricting people's purchasing power. But if they really wanted to, they can go off and, you know, purchase goods and trade those for illicit substances anyway. So, you know, what I would say is that this is not actually dealing with the core problem here at all, which is why is there an underlying addiction in the first place?
Absolutely. But, I'll keep saying, like, if they have access to money, they then have access to their family's money. Because the Aboriginal way, you know, you're just expected to give and you're not...
It's a community approach. No. It's a very different approach to the one that we're used to, which is very much individualistic. I mean, my money is my money, whereas in many Aboriginal communities, money is the community's
money.
It's there to be shared. It's a very different way of working.
My money is your money.
Yeah. And there's something quite lovely about that, really.
It has its upsides, certainly, and it also has its downsides, particularly when you're dealing with family members who, you know, are dealing with addiction. It can be a real challenge, and I mentioned it on Q&A, the fact that, you know, a lot of young people, there's so many job opportunities for Indigenous people in the Northern Territory, and what we're seeing is employers are finding it difficult to be able to bring on trainees and keep them, and apprentices and keep them, because these young people are faced with the fact that if they get an income, if they get a wage, then the family will most certainly rely on them and lean on them for their money. Mm. And, you know, and again, many Aboriginal families have family members. We have, you know, huge family networks, and we have a lot of people within our family who are struggling with addiction. And again, that pressure is there to make sure that you are looking after your family by giving away your money, but that's not an incentive for people to want to maintain a job. So it's a really tricky situation. You know, it's a catch-22, because what we want is people to get off welfare so they're not having to, you know, deal with the basics card. But in a sense, the basics card is protecting those who want to keep their money and pay their bills and feed their children. And yet then if you get a job, there's the pressure of, well, there's money available
again
for your family.
Jacinta, on a slightly separate note, earlier this year in relation to Australia Day, you were quoted in the Northern Territory News as saying that Aboriginal people have become professional mourners and it's time it stopped. Could you talk to us a little bit more about what you actually meant by that? And do you really believe that Aboriginal people have become professional mourners?
What I meant by that, and I know a lot of people took that the wrong way, is the fact that...
Well, that's why I'm asking you to talk about it.
Sure. Yeah. We are far too often burying our loved ones. Just last week, one of my nieces died. Now we're waiting for the coroner's report, she was 30 years old. She left behind four boys. 9 years ago...
I'm sorry to hear that.
...stabbed to death in a town camp, and she was 24, and she was killed by her ex-husband because she wanted to, in fact, move down to Newcastle in New South Wales and live with her stepfather, who is my cousin, to raise her boys. We are constantly burying our family members. There have been about 10 deaths in my family since the beginning of this year, and what I mean by that is we are all faced with this. It's almost become like an industry. It's almost like we're just churning out, you know, family members who are dying constantly. And this is something that I want to stop. Like, this is a massive issue for Aboriginal people.
You want to stop
instead
the
of concentrating. Yeah. Changing the date of Australia Day isn't going to change the fact that we're constantly burying our loved ones.
Because, yeah, a number of people in your community have a very passionate view that Australia Day, a number call it Invasion Day and other names, and what you're saying is changing that date isn't going to make any difference. It's actually about the people in your communities, your extended families, the death rate that you need to stop burying your family.
There's far more important issues to be addressing that we need to really take action on to make real change, not symbolic, symbolic measures that really don't have any effect whatsoever on what's going on in terms of the most marginalised Aboriginal people in this country. It means nothing. If you go out to a remote community and you ask somebody, "Oh, what do you think, should we change?" They really couldn't care less because they're just surviving, basically. They're just existing. And it's about improving quality of life for Aboriginal people. It's not about changing. If you change the date, you're not going to change history. It's like, saying sorry didn't actually save anyone's lives, and it hasn't changed much for Aboriginal people. I know it helped a lot of Aboriginal people feel a bit better about, themselves internally, but when it came to the rest of the community, it didn't change anything for Aboriginal people. I guess I get tired.
I'd like to take the conversation to is, well, what does work then? Because obviously these symbolic elements, these attempts to change our values or our perceptions, are things that you're arguing are clearly not working. So in that sense, what does work? How can we change this abominable rate of death in the Aboriginal community, this rate of high rates of addiction and mental illness? Mm. So what are some of the solutions then, Jacinta?
So the answers need to come from Aboriginal people ourselves. We need to come up with the solutions. We need to work together. And I think what we haven't been able to do is turn around and have some constructive criticism of ourselves, of how we need to make those changes, because no one standing on the outside, no matter how much their heart is bleeding for us, they're not going to be able to change things for us. We need to do that ourselves, but that requires taking a level of responsibility. Our government has said sorry. The vast majority of non-Australians in this country are wanting for the best for Aboriginal people, but in order to start the healing process, the forgiveness has to occur, and I haven't seen that happen yet. The forgiveness hasn't occurred, and a lot of the problems that we face are problems that, yes, were introduced by the West, but only the West has the sorts of tools that we need to learn from to enhance our lives, to get overcome these problems, but we need to adopt those. I guess it needs to happen in a cultural exchange, if you like. We can't do what we need to do without the support of our fellow Australians. And I'm seeing a lot more divide nowadays than there is this sense of coming together in unity. And being a woman who has a white father and an Aboriginal mother, I know how coming together can help us, and that's where I really feel we need to go. We are looking back a lot. We do need to recognise our past, but in order to have a future, we need to start looking after our children and our families now, because tomorrow is not going to get any better if we don't start that now. But of course, we need to take responsibility for that, and we also need to do that with the support of our wider community. We can't do it by ourselves. But we need to say, this is what we've got to do. And You know, and when I say that, I mean, like, there are a lot of Aboriginal organisations that have had millions of dollars go through them, and we're not seeing outcomes from those organisations as well. You know, give or take, you know, a few here or there, but the vast amounts of money that go through those organisations, a lot of the time, isn't accounted for. There's no measures. We don't have that constructive criticism occurring for our organisations like other organisations, non-Indigenous organisations, have to have.
Yeah.
And I think if we started doing things like that, you know, it's actually very, very beneficial for us. But there's always, like, you know, you can't constructively criticise an Aboriginal person, otherwise you're called a racist. And we have to overcome that, because bottom line is we are human beings, all of us, and we've got to start acting that way.
Jacinda, it's been great having you on the radio this morning. Unfortunately, we have run out of time.
We have run out of time, but I want to extend an invitation. If you're ever in Melbourne on a Saturday, come in.
Yeah.
We'd love to have a much longer chat. There's a lot of issues there we dearly love to unpack with you. Want to thank you for your time. I'm sorry it hasn't been long enough for us to cover everything we want to.
But it's great to have you on air.
It's been great to have you, and we really appreciate it. And let's have you back real soon.
No worries. I'll let you know if I'm ever in Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.